Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Well, good morning. It's great to be with you on this fine Sunday morning. I am carrying on the series of Sit, Walk, Stand. We've been looking through Ephesians, haven't we? Just about how we sit at the Lord's feet, how we know that the work that he's done for us, what he's called us to, enables us to walk throughout life in the way that he wants us to live, to experience everything that he has for us. But then that we're able to stand in the face of opposition, trial, difficulty, because of what God has done for us. So I'm jumping right in again, just of where we left off last week with Penny was talking to us. We were looking at the start of Ephesians 4. We're going right in today at Ephesians 4:17. And I've called this, "What on earth are you wearing?" This talks about clothes, putting things off, putting things on. And it's all about how do we conduct ourselves? How do we walk with the Lord? And what does that really look like in a life of grace and a life of love because what he's done for us. So I'm excited to get into it, you know, but I want to encourage you right at the start of this. This is about grasping this importance that the gospel of grace can permeate every single area of your life. I want to encourage you right at the start, no matter what position you're in today, no matter where you're at, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter the thoughts in your own mind, grasp that importance. The gospel can infiltrate wherever you are, whatever your situation is, whatever is going on for you. The gospel is relevant to that situation. See, when we look at Ephesians as an overview, the first few chapters that we've already looked at over the last few weeks, it is an overview of grace. It's an overview of what God has done for you, how much he loves you, the fact that you're grounded in that love. But a significant part of it is to recognize that it's not just God can change you, but he can change the world around you. Andrew said something very specific, which is that the gospel of grace and in Ephesians, it's more than a simple bless me club. It's more than saying, oh God, what good things have you got for me today? Albeit he is a good God who gives good things. It's actually about saying, what have you called me to and how will I walk through that? See, it's about identity, and it's about living a part of that out. Who has he called me to be, and then how does that make me live, and how does that impact the world around me? Penny spoke last week on experiencing unity. When we live out of that place, when we live out of what God has called us to be, that changes our behaviour. As Penny said, we get to do good works, not that we have to, we get to. And I want to encourage you, challenge you this morning, come to the Word with a different use of different language this morning. This is not about, God, I want to get a blessing, get a blessing, get a blessing, get a good thing from you, and it's all about me, me, me. No, I want to change your language a bit. I'm coming to you, Lord, to be transformed. I'm coming to you, Lord, to see my situation transformed. I'm coming to you to know your goodness so that you can open up a way where there is no way. This is not about a bless me club so we feel better. This is about getting a fresh revelation that his grace transforms. Yes, he blesses. Yes, he fills our lives, but he will transform wherever you're at. So blessing versus transformation, and I'm into a God, yes, who blesses us, but the God who transforms situations and circumstances. So that's a bit of an intro. That's where we're at, but I'm really looking forward to it. We are going to jump straight in, Ephesians 4, verse 17 to 32. And Paul says, so I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality, so to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. Pretty cheery start, but we'll keep going. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that's in Jesus. You were taught with regard to the former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer. They must work, doing something useful with their own hands, so that they may have something to share with those who are in need. He goes on to say, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what's helpful in building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ in God forgave you. Now, you'll be reading that along with me, and you'll be thinking, am I even saved? I was bitter this morning, and I had unwholesome talk come out of my mouth last night, and I did this and I did that. And this is not a list of do's and don'ts. It's really, really important to catch the context here. It's not a list of things that you must do or things you mustn't do in order to gain salvation. This is an opportunity to recognize that the gospel permeates everywhere, to every area of your life, to every type of behavior and conduct, and that it comes from this place of who God's called you to be. So I want to unpack that for us, because if we actually just read those verses, you may think, oh my goodness, I struggle with these things sometimes, or these things happen in my life. So let's really get deep down into it. Ephesians, of what comes before, because Paul says, therefore, you have to consider what's happened in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and the start of chapter 4. It's about identity. And this is what Andrew and Penny have been talking to us about the last few weeks. It's when you know who you are, you will choose how to behave. And this is the revelation from God, what he has called you to. You're grounded in his love. He loves you so much, and he has called you into heavenly places. Remember, in the very first week of Ephesians, it was God has called you to all spiritual blessings that are in Christ. You have access to them. And it's from that place of he loves you, he's for you, his grace is for you, that he will change you from the inside out. So what's Paul saying in here? He's saying, don't live as the Gentiles do. Now, important to make a distinction here. Whenever Paul means the Gentiles in this passage, he's really talking about non-believers. So what Paul's saying is, he's saying, this is not you who love Jesus and the one who Jesus has saved. He's saying, that's not you. Don't be living like those who don't know Jesus, is what he's saying. He talks about the futility of their thinking. And actually, when we look at the Greek word for this, it talks about how there's an emptiness, there's a void, there's a godless without purpose. He said that's what the Gentiles are, those who don't know Jesus, those non-believers. But what he's saying to you is that you are with purpose. You have God in your life. Your life is not void. It is not empty. So he's saying, get away from the futility of your thinking that you don't have purpose. He's saying, because that's not you. So I want to really, from the very start, encourage yourself. God has given me a purpose, no matter what life looks like, because he's saying you're not like that anymore. You have purpose. God is with you. Your life is not void, and he is inside of you working these things out. He uses this term when he says the hardening of their hearts. Now, the original word looks at the likes of like a callus that forms over your bone. It's like over the soft bone to protect a bone that you've maybe broken after these other cells have begun to help to clear up infection, to heal you and things like that. He uses this word hardening, which is like a callus that forms over the bone. And what happens over time, it becomes harder and harder and harder. And this is what the non-believers were doing at this time. The context is they were becoming harder to recognizing what God was doing in their lives. So he issues a warning, don't lose your sensitivity to what God has done in your life. And this is a challenge for you this morning. Don't become insensitive to who God is and what he's accomplished for you, because it can infiltrate every single area of your life. Now, whenever I go and do my training, my weightlifting, obviously you knew that from looking at me, I get calluses on my hands from lifting heavy weights, or at least weights that I think are heavy. What happens is your hands become harder and harder to allow you to lift dumbbells, barbells, so that you can continue to do it. But what happens is I lose sensitivity to the weight because of the hardness that forms around my skin, that I can lift things. And you know, whenever I was really thinking about this calluses, this hardening of the heart, I encourage you, don't allow yourself to lose the sensitivity for what God has accomplished for you. It is such a significant thing in your life that it's by grace we've been saved, not by works, not by behavior. And Paul is challenging you, get away from that hardness of heart and open yourself up to God can do more than you can ask or imagine, as we heard in Ephesians 3, more than your situation looks like. open yourself up and soften yourself to this is a God who has called you to a greater purpose than what your life can look like at times. So let's not lose that sensitivity, because why? That's not the way of life that you have learned, is what Paul says. The next part he goes in to talk about is, in verse 20, is put off the old man, the old self. He says that's not the way of life you've learned when you heard about Christ. You were taught in him, Jesus himself, in accordance with the truth. You were taught to put off that former way of life, to put off your old self. He says, put on this new attitude of your mind, this new self, which was created like God in true righteousness and holiness. So the language is put off. And it's really this image of taking off old or dirty clothes. Now, there's echoes in this, in these words, of when we think of Lazarus. Lazarus brought back to life by Jesus himself. Imagine if Lazarus, Jesus speaks, come forth from the grave, and here he is, he shows up, he's got his grave clothes on, but Jesus just allows him to walk around with himself bound in these grave clothes. Would he still have been alive? Absolutely, he would have still been alive, but people would have been saying, what are you wearing? Why are you still wearing those clothes that you died in? Because you're back to life. And this is the language that Paul's using. Take off the former way, because that's not you anymore. It's like taking off dirty clothes. I think myself, if I've been training or exercising, if I come home, get a shower, get myself washed, and I then choose to get out and put my training clothes back on, you'd be thinking I'm mental, because it makes no sense. I've been made clean from when I'm washed. I've been made clean from what Jesus has done for me. Why would I then choose to go back to the former way of thinking that I'm not righteous? Why would I choose to go back to the former way of thinking that I'm not good enough, that I am futile in my thinking? This is what Paul is challenging you. He's saying, take them off. Why? Because it's not your nature anymore. Even if you think it is, even if you think you can be unclean in your thoughts or your actions or your mind or whatever, he says, this is not you. You have been made clean. So by association, how you then behave, how you think, God can infiltrate all of those areas, because why? Your heart is clean. Your mind is the mind of Christ. And this is the challenge. In verse 24, he says, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The Greek word is kitizo, I think is how I say it. And it's completely formed anew. It's something that hasn't been done before. Paul is saying that God has created such a work in your heart, irrespective of how you feel about it, irrespective of how you feel on any given day. He has transformed you into a new creation. As I think Andrew said this the other week, it's never been done before. God has blessed you to a point of where he's created something completely new in you. So therefore, your nature has changed. So encourage your own heart right now. I am not what I behave. I'm not what I behave like. I'm not necessarily my thoughts. I am who the Lord has called me to be. And that's grounded in love, walking in his fullness, no longer futile in your thinking. He's called you to a greater purpose. Andrew also said this word anthropos, which was that we've been conformed to the nature of God. What is God's nature? He's a God of loyal love. He's the God who became sin. He who knew no sin became sin in order that you would become the righteousness of God. That's what you are. Romans 6 says, for we know our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin would be done away with, that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. We hear this so much in exchange, don't we, that we're set free from sin, that no longer, the law is no longer, it's void now, null and void. But we sometimes, from Sunday to Sunday, from week to week, we find that these things creep back in a little bit, don't they? So I want to encourage you again, you are free from sin and its consequences. You're holy, blameless, forgiven, set free. Not just so you can know I'm a Christian and I'm saved. No, so that the gospel can permeate every single area of your life. And the challenge is then, what does that look like for my behavior? Paul says it's about being made new in the attitude of your mind. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, he says in Romans, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve of what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So Paul talks about, how do we work this gospel out in our hearts? We know we're saved. God has saved us with his loyal love and grace. And he uses this language like Romans 12, at how he talks about our mind needs to be renewed. Our mind needs to be changed almost on a daily basis to continue to remember what he's done for you. In Romans 12, these words, transformed by the renewing of your mind, we remember these Greek words are Greek words for the likes of metamorphosis. It's this change of nature, form into something completely different. Think a caterpillar going into a butterfly. Paul is saying that when you're transformed, you become a completely new creation. And that's what Jesus has done for you. And the context of Ephesians is that because Jesus has done this for you, he will then infiltrate every area of your life. And what we need to be doing is renewing our mind on a daily basis to draw ourselves back to the fact that it's not in my work, it's not in my behavior, it's in what he's done for me. This word renewing of your mind, it actually in the Greek talks about make something fresh. But it's an image of moving from one stage to a higher stage in life. God is challenging you and encouraging you that what he has for you is to move from glory to glory, from grace to grace, to a higher calling, which is more than what you think you can do yourself in your own life. Because God himself, he saved you to the point of where you can walk in fullness and purpose. Remember, not like the non-believers, like those who know him and can experience everything that he has for you in every area of your life. Galatians 5 verse 1 says that it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and don't let ourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. How mad would it have been for Lazarus to come out of that grave but keeping his grave clothes on? But he said, yeah, I know I'm alive, but I'll keep these on. I think this is just a good look for me. No, Jesus has set you free. He brought him back to life so that he can walk in the fullness of what God had for him. So then what does it mean for our behavior change? We know what he's done. We're called by our identity, grounded in love with all the spiritual blessings. What does it look like for our behavior? As we read what Paul then says, he says, that's no life for you. You learned Christ. This is the Message version, verse 20 to 24. My assumption is you've paid careful attention to him, being well instructed in the truth. And he then talks about how everything must go in the old life. Old ways of thinking, old ways of doing, old behaviors, they must go. Why? Because you're not called for that. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. Get rid of that old way of thinking. He then says to take on an entirely new way of life. This new life that produces, as you stay grafted in God, grafted in the vine, it produces new character. It's in what it adds up to is no more lies, no more pretense. It talks about behavior. Tell your neighbor the truth. It talks about in Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. It says there's no lying, there's no go ahead and be angry, but allow yourself to have the peace and not a fuel for revenge. It says don't stay angry, don't go to bed angry, don't give the devil a foothold in your life. He goes on to say that, you know, did you make those ends meet by stealing? Well, no more. Get an honest job, work, because then God will provide for you and you'll be able to give of yourself. He talks then about let the no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. So it's all these behaviors, but remember, they're not a list of do's and don'ts. They're a list, and it's an opportunity of God can work in all of these things. Whatever you struggle with, whatever is your natural way or your inclination to behave or to think in moments of trial or difficulty, he's actually saying that this is an opportunity, a privilege, that grace works its way from the inside out, that as you go from glory to glory, as you stay grafted into Jesus, these behaviors can change over time. So it's not a list of, I need to be better, I need to work harder. No, it's as I stay grafted into the vine, into Jesus, listening to who he is, then I will walk out in the fullness that he has for me, which is purpose and which is changing your behavior so that other people will encounter Jesus. That is transformation. So he gives you the strength to live like this as you renew your mind on him. Now, that list, and there's a similar list in Colossians, which I'm not going to read because it talks about saying, put off these things. It's not to be daunting or to produce shame in your life if those are things that you struggle with or those are things that you do. It's to show you that nothing is off the table with this gospel. Nothing is off limits for what God wants to do in your life. Now remember, identity first. He's called me to be righteous and holy and blameless no matter how I behave. And that's what you need to hear. You don't need to hear, these are a list of behaviours, Adam, this is hard going here. No, you need to hear that he's called you to be righteous and holy and blameless no matter how you behave, no matter how you act, no matter what you think. But he wants to help you change those things too. Identity first, but then we walk out the change, our behaviour changes. Now, in my day job as a social worker, I love it. I get to talk to people about how do we make these changes in our lives, behavioural changes, changes for their families. And sometimes whenever I'm talking to families, we use this model, and I'll not bore you, but it's just to help you with a bit of context, called the cycle of change. And it talks about how we're at a point where we don't consider we want to make changes, then we start to think about it, then we start to act on it, then we make some changes, then we try and maintain them, but then sometimes we go back in a relapse and the problem starts happening again and again. And all these self-help gurus will tell you that the importance of behaviour changing, the importance to be a better person, is found in how I act and found in what I say or what I think. But the thing about a cycle of change is there's a key factor, is you need to have a motivating belief that pushes you on to make these changes. And that's something that I always encourage families I work with, people that I work with. They need to find a motivating belief within themselves of why it's important to change. And it must come from that belief. But for us as believers, for us who know Jesus, we have one better than just a model that helps us change. It's the fact that your identity is already established. You're already secure in Jesus before your behaviours change, or even with things that you struggle with, or even thought patterns or processes that you're trying to work out in God. You're already established. Remember what Jesus says in John 15. I think I've said this somewhere else, but in John 15 he says, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Take the pressure off yourself this morning to hear it in two parts. You're already clean, but God wants to still transform you from glory to glory so you'll experience more of him in how you walk. That's what it's about with sit, walk, stand. You sit and you say, God, thank you for what you've done for me. The first few chapters have explained that, but I get to walk out in everything being transformed because that's his heart for you. Remember, this series has said that you're handpicked by God and given a new name. This is your starting point. No matter what comes next, you're handpicked by him and he's called you his own. And then from the inside out, that's the transformation that comes. The language of Ephesians, Paul saying, don't do this, do this, don't do this. The language is actually, he says, put off the old self. But the language talks about how we've already been saved. We're already saved before you throw off the old behaviours. Now, the people with a law mindset and those in other various religious establishments who decide to preach law will tell you, you must change and then you'll get God. That's not what the language is in Ephesians or Colossians chapter 3, which talks about put this off, put this off, put this on. The language is you're already saved. You're already clean, you're already called, you're already righteous, you're already holy, you're already, you have a purpose before the change happens. And that's what I want to encourage you with. God has got a purpose for your life, even if you struggle with something, or even if this is an issue that you want God to work out, or something you need to see God work out in your life. His heart is to keep you fixed in that place of righteousness while he works on those things to make you more like him. So take the pressure off yourself. Stay grafted into what he's called you for. It's about what he's accomplished and what he has created in you will then bring about these changes. Now, reading a list of do's and don'ts can be hard because we sometimes go back to that law mindset. And you might be saying, Adam, why should I care? Why should I care if my behavior changes or not? Why should I care if God wants me to think better, or God wants me to live better, or God wants me to throw off falsehood, or wants me to tell the truth? Why is that important if I'm already loved and fixed in what he says about me? Because the truth is, you will need to stand at some point. When the enemy comes in to try and distract you from the purpose of God, you will need to stand. And God wants to transform those things in you so that you can raise yourself up to see in the way he sees things, which is the purpose that he has for your life, to continue to experience his love in your relationships, in your workplace, even in your thought process, in the difficulties that you have. It's not about just knowing that you're saved. It's not about just, you know, being saved from sin. It's about becoming alive in Christ. And that's what God is challenging us on, that it's not simply about knowing that you're righteous. It's about walking with all life and purpose for your life. Now, we believe Jesus works, right? But do we really believe that he can work in your own heart? Can he really change me? Is the question I have for you. Can he really change my behavior, my attitudes? Can he really change those secret inner thoughts that I have, that I talk to the Lord about, that I'm thinking about, that those things that I worry about, can he really change them? And the answer is absolutely. God is not just a God of breakthrough in your finances or breakthrough in your health, which he absolutely is that. He is the God who wants to permeate every single area of your life. And it's not just in the stuff that you can touch. It's not just in your job. It's in you as a person. He wants to change and transform so that you can stand with a readiness, knowing that no matter what comes your way, you know that God is good and he's for you. And no matter what the distractions are brought across, no matter what you've got going on, God is good, he's for me, he's got a purpose, and I will see his grace moving throughout whatever my days have. This is what it's about when we change that behavior. We get away from those behaviors that distract us from that purpose. So that language is put off the old self. Now, sometimes we revert to putting the old self back on, especially when these storms come. And this is the image of this clothing that we just keep going back to. Now, I have many's of clothing in my wardrobe, and I often go back to these old clothes that they don't fit anymore, or they don't work anymore with what the fashion choices I want to make. So picture the scene, right? I will be wearing my clothes and I'll say, "Lauren, what do you think? Is this good? Do you like this?" And she'll go, "What on earth are you wearing? That looks horrific. That looks a sight. It's old. You don't need to wear it anymore." But sometimes I revert back to these old things that I keep. I've got football tops from whenever I was about 6 years old that will never fit me, but I hold on to them. I'm a bit sentimental. That's what I'm used to. Oh, I used to have that when I was younger. In life, we're a little bit like that. When storms come, when trials come, like old clothes we hold on to, even though they look atrocious, we hold on to them. We sometimes revert back to fear, to worry, to anxiety, to insecurity when the difficult moments come. Like old clothes, we go back to them. We go back to those old ways that we threw off before. And you see, we say to ourselves, "Oh, that's how it's always been. I've always worried when these things happen. I've always had fear in those moments with my job. Or I've always had anxiety in new situations. I've always had difficulty when I think about the health of my parents, or I think about, can God really work in this part of my life? Can he really work on my confidence?" And we tell ourselves that that's the way it's always been, and that's the way it's always going to be. That's how the world responds to circumstances. They say, "That's always what I've been like. That's my makeup. That's how God's made me." But what God's saying to you now is that he can transform any area of your life, any part of your life, any part of your inner man. And we need to get ourselves away by renewing our mind to going back to those things. We need to just say, grafted in who God says that you are, live from that place. Put off the falsehood, put off the anxiety, put off the fear, put off the apathy. That is so important, because that is not what you're called for. You're called for a greater purpose. You're called to step up in grace, to lead other people to the encounters with Jesus that you're having yourself. Now, sometimes I think God is funny with us. He has a reaction to us when we go back to those old ways, when we start to worry about things again, or when we start to be anxious. I can imagine God, he just looks at you and goes, "What are you wearing? I have called you to something greater." And it's not that he wags his finger and say, "Oh, what a shame you've done this again," and he's the angry God. No, he gathers you in and says, "But I've got something better for you." In moments where you don't know what's going to happen, in moments where you need an impossible breakthrough, God's reaction is to say, "Get away from the old ways, put them off, and put on the new man, which is what I've called you to be. Identity where you're grounded in love, where you know his fullness no matter what's going on." And that's the encouragement for you today. You see, because the enemy is always at work. And what we know from what the Bible teaches, what's preached here at Exchange, is the enemy will try to take you out of that place of righteousness, won't he? He will try to convince you that you're not saved. He'll try to convince you you're not righteous, that you need to earn God's favor and God's love. But here's the thing. I think we've heard it that many times in exchange, and rightly so, that we're righteous, that God looks at us and he accepts us. You see, we start to realize that actually, I can't be taken out of heaven. I can't be taken out of that place of righteousness. But what the enemy tries to do is when you begin to realize that the enemy can't take you out of heaven, the enemy will try and take heaven out of you. He will try and take what God is doing, wherever you put your hand, wherever you put your foot, he will try and take that out of you to make you think God's limited. He can't work in that area. He can't work in that behavior because I've always struggled with that. He can't work in that situation because that's always been hard for me. I'm here to tell you today to blow that out of the water. God doesn't just save you to a place of righteousness and spiritual blessings. He works wherever you need him to. He works in every single area and every single area of your life. It could be in family relationships, could be your kids, could be your spouse. God can work in every area. And what he says to you today is it doesn't always have to be those ways that the enemy will make you think. That the enemy will make you think, yeah, you're saved, that's great, but God's not going to bring a breakthrough. God's not going to do the impossible. God is able. And what we need to be doing is we need to learn how to stand. But how we stand is it comes from the place of sitting, from the identity that God has formed in you, your call, loyal love, grounded in that. And that's how we walk. And then we can stand no matter what comes. I want to read Matthew 7 to you really quickly. It says that, so everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man, far-sighted, practical, sensible man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against the house, yet it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears the words of mine and doesn't do them, they'll be like a foolish, stupid man who built his house on the sand. When the rain falls, the floods, the torrents come, the winds blow against it, slammed against the house, and it falls. And what Jesus says, and the great and complete was its fall. God wants to help you to stand in those moments that are uncertain, in those moments that appear impossible. And like that song would say, on Christ this solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And what Jesus is saying to you is it's time to grow up in this grace. Grace is not a bless me club to make me feel good on a Sunday, albeit God gives good gifts. Please don't hear and misinterpret what I'm saying. He's a good God who wants to bless you. He's a good God who wants to love you into wholeness and will do that. But let's grow up in grace. This is about going to a higher stage that no matter what comes around me, no matter what's going on, no matter what behaviors I'm showing, God can break in and break through no matter what storms rage around me. I will stand and say that he is good and he is for me. Renew your mind today, daily basis. Listen to the voice of the Lord, not the other voices of our social media and our Facebook and things like that. Listen to the Lord on a daily basis. Listen to his love for you. Listen to what Ephesians say, that you're grounded in that love and all of the blessings he has for you. That will help you to stand. It'll help you to change your behavior, but also to stand when those behaviors are difficult or in those moments that seem impossible. So what will you choose today? What will you partner with today when the storms come? What will you partner with? Will you partner with that futile thinking of the Gentiles of, you know, I have no purpose, life is null and void for me? Or will you partner with the thinking that God has a purpose for your life, but it goes beyond just I'm saved and in the meeting? It goes beyond that. It infiltrates my behavior, my thinking, those moments that are hard. It infiltrates everywhere. And that's why I can stand here today despite storms, and I can tell you that God is good and he loves me and he's a purpose for my life. He's a purpose for the life of my family. He's a purpose for Lauren and I. I can stand here and say that because I'm grounded in his love. I've opened up my heart to allow him to work that out from my heart to my behavior, to my thoughts, to my attitudes. And I've chosen to partner with that new man. As I cling to his word, my mind is renewed and my behavior changes so that I can stand in whatever situation I'm facing. Salvation is more than simply just removing the old nature. It's more than just not being dead. It's about being fully alive as a new creation. So I challenge you as I'm finishing here, put on the new man today. The new man, not that it's a work or an effort or gains you salvation. No, it's the new man that you already are. Put on the clothes that it will show people that Jesus is working in your life. Don't partner anymore with those old ways, because God has called you to something higher. So as he says in Colossians, as God's chosen people, you're holy, set apart, well beloved by God himself, put on the heart of compassion, the kindness, the humility, the gentleness, the patience, the fruit of the Spirit. Put those things on. Bear with one another, forgive each other, just as the Ephesians say, it talks about as the Lord has forgiven you, so you should forgive as well. And that is not a hard thing to do. It's not about, I need to do this, now do this. You do those things as you stay grafted in God and your behavior will change, but you will see the fullness of God in your life. I encourage you, you have a new nature. You are a new creation, and it starts from that place of identity. It's God-given, not earned, done by God himself in your heart. And because of that, you get to do good works, as Penny said. You get to turn away from the old ways because God has called you to something greater. So what are you going to partner with today? Last point I have, checking our time. The last point I have is, it says in verse 30 in Ephesians, Paul says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for on the day of redemption. Now, I'm not going to talk about grieving the Holy Spirit or upsetting that. God has a heart for you that wants you to walk in fullness. That's what that talks about. He loves you so much that he wants you to walk in your purpose. But the last point is, you were sealed for the day of redemption. You're sealed, purchased. It's this language of a tattoo being engraved. No matter what your behaviors are doing, no matter what you have going on in your life, he has engraved his name on you. You're loved, you're sealed, no matter what. Like I said in John 15, you're already clean because of what God's spoken over you. So let's live likewise. Let's stay grafted into him. So church, exchange, do not lose your sensitivity to what God is transforming in your life. It's more than just what nice preaching can I hear this morning or what good word can I hear. It's more than that. It's about renewing your mind so that God himself, his Spirit, will infiltrate everywhere. Let's walk from that place. He's called me to greater purpose. Let's live by the Spirit. Let's walk by the Spirit so we can stand in the Spirit no matter what comes. And that's where you'll encounter the fullness of God. So I leave you with one question. What on earth are you wearing? Clothe yourself in what God has done for you. Choose the higher standard.